Hello, McFarland. My name is Wendy Neal, the Senior Associate Pastor here, and I am so happy to be worshiping with you today on this Labor Day weekend and to proclaim that this is the day that the Lord has made. So let us rejoice and be glad in it. Wherever you are today, thank you for making worship a part of your week. We have a great service today. We continue in our sermon series called Hope Endures, and we celebrate all of our Sunday school classes and how we share life together. If you're not currently part of a Sunday school class or a small group at McFarland and you would like to be, please go onto our website at mcfarlandumc.org to learn about all of our groups and how you can participate. Next Sunday, we're going to be celebrating our music ministries, and we have a special service that's going to be full of music and hymn singing, and I know that you won't want to miss it. Today, we also celebrate Holy Communion, and so if you don't have your bread or your juice ready, I invite you to go get that at this time. And God is just doing so much through the ministries of McFarland, and we come to give our praise and our thanks for that. And so let us sing together our opening hymn, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise.
In the affirmation of hope. God is with God's people. God dwells in their midst. Listen and hear God speak. Our hearts long for God's word. We wait upon the Lord so that we may renew our strength. God is our help and our support. God's Spirit moves among us to lead us in holiness and righteousness all our days. With joyful hearts, we sing God's praise. With rejoicing, we call upon God. The Lord is our hope and our salvation. Let us pray together. Gracious and caring God, we celebrate your steadfast love. You are good and true. You lead us and teach us. Your faithfulness is the magnet that calls us to connect, to gather, and to worship. Thank you for your residency in our lives, your Spirit alive among us and in us. We are people networked in the way of Jesus for the solace of our souls and for the salvation of the world. We live in a world that runs fast and complicated. Sometimes we grow weary of running. Sometimes we tire of keeping on and keeping up. Sometimes we transgress and act in ways that hurt others, or think and feel in ways that hurt ourselves. Forgive us and refresh us. Help us and heal us. O Lord, we invite your grace to change us. We have been scattered and disconnected in various ways and degrees by this ruthless pandemic for too long. Our souls cry out, how long? O God, our Redeemer, hold us in the palm of your hands. Connect us by the unrelenting presence of your Spirit. Give us this day a hope so muscular and fine that we feel like we do indeed have wings to rise above the fray, to soar in love for all those around us, to find those moments when we know we are sailing upon the wind of your will. We are your people, and we desire to live in covenant with the way of Jesus, who invites us to gather, to connect, and to gather up our desires together with one voice, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our scripture reading today comes from Psalm 25, verses 4 through 10 and 16 and 17. Hear the word of the Lord. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. Be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and of your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me for your goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his decrees. Turn to me, O Lord, and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. Relieve the troubles of my heart and bring me out of my distress. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray together. O holy God, we give you thanks for your word, for your guidance, for teaching us your ways. And so today, God, we have our minds and our hearts and our ears open so that we might learn from you. God, and we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. The female chimpanzee at the Philadelphia Zoological Garden died of complications from a cold early in the morning of December 27, 1878. Miss Chimpanzee, according to the news reports, died while receiving the attentions of her companion. Both she and that companion, a four-year-old male, had been born near the Gabon River in West Africa, and they had arrived in Philadelphia in April together. These apes can be captured only when young, the zoo superintendent at the time, Arthur E. Brown, explained, and they are generally taken only one or two at a time. In the wild, they live together in small bands of half a dozen, and they build platforms among the branches out of boughs and leaves on which they sleep. But in Philadelphia, in the monkey house, where it was just the two of them, they had become accustomed to sleep at night in each other's arms on a blanket on the floor, clutching each other desperately, achingly through the long, cold night. The Philadelphia Zoological Garden was the first zoo in the United States, and it was opened in 1874. And Mr. and Miss Chimpanzee in Philadelphia, they were two of only four chimpanzees in America at that time. And when she died, human observers mourned her loss. But above all, they remarked on the behavior of her companion. For a long time, they reported that he tried in vain to rouse her. And then he went into a frenzy of grief, and the sudden outburst was in line entirely with what scientists at the time had described in humans. That persons suffering from excessive grief, they often seek relief by violent and almost frantic movements. The bereaved chimpanzee began to pull out the hair from his head, and he wailed, making a sound the zookeeper had never heard before. His cries were heard over the entire garden, and he dashed himself against the bars of the cage and butted his head upon the hardwood bottom. And when this burst of grief was ended, he poked his head under the straw in one corner and moaned as if his heart would break. Nothing quite like this had ever been recorded, and so Superintendent prepared a scholarly article called Grief in the Chimpanzee. And even long after the death of the female, Brown reported the male invariably slept on a crossbeam at the top of the cage, returning to inherited habit and showing probably that the apprehension of unseen dangers has been heightened by his sense of loneliness. Jill Lepore, who is a professor of history at Harvard, she tells this story because she has been reflecting a lot on loneliness and isolation and what it does to our souls. She says, loneliness is grief distended. People are primates and even more sociable than chimpanzees, and we hunger for intimacy. And we don't have to be historians or social scientists to trust that this is true. Our experience confirms this hunger. And as people of faith, from the very beginning of our scriptures to the very end, we hear the story of how God created us to live in community. And even more than that, God created us to be close to one another, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, to share life together and to gather. And I have found what she says to be so interesting and helpful because as an introvert, often I hunger for alone time. After being with people, being alone helps me re-energize. And honestly, in late March of last year, I went into staying at home feeling as if I was made for this. I thought, I can do a few weeks at home, no problem. I actually might even thrive being at home. But let me tell you, it didn't take long for even an introvert like me to miss being with people, with you. I had my husband and my children, and I am so grateful for that. But after a short time, I began to experience a deep sadness, a loneliness that I have never experienced before, and it physically hurt. I remember it felt like carrying around a weighted blanket all the time or trying to run in a swimming pool. Everything seemed to require extra effort. And there were days when I just didn't want to make that extra effort. So what was hopeful to me about what Lepore says is that she says plenty of people like to be alone. She says, I myself love to be alone. But solitude and seclusion, which are the things I love, are different from loneliness, which is a thing I hate. Loneliness is a state of profound distress. She says, as human beings, we wither without intimacy. And she has studied loneliness long before the pandemic came. Loneliness, while made worse by the pandemic, is not new with the pandemic. And yet loneliness is a relatively new phenomenon. Before modern times, very few human beings talked about loneliness or lived alone. Slowly, beginning not much before a century ago, that's when it changed. The word loneliness very seldom appears in English before about 1800. Before the 20th century, about 5% of all households, or about 1% of the world population, consisted of just one person per household. In the United States, more than 1 in 4 people now live alone, and in some parts of the country, especially in big cities, that percentage is higher. Now, let me be clear. You can live alone without being lonely. And you can be lonely without living alone. What she is referring to is this growing lack of closeness or intimacy with other human beings that is causing distress. And isolation and lockdowns and sheltering in place, it makes that lack of closeness so much harder to bear. The psalmist that we heard from today knew something about loneliness. The psalmist prays to God saying, "Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. Relieve the troubles of my heart and bring me out of my distress." His loneliness doesn't stem from living alone or from forced isolation during a pandemic. He confesses that the transgressions of his life and his failure to care for his relationships has cut him off from others and has led to his loneliness. And we don't know all of the details of what has happened throughout his life, but we do know that not having friends or a network of support has left him in profound distress. And it's when he's at this point in his life that all he knows to do is to humble himself before God and to ask for help. "Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long." He's admitting that his ways of living aren't working. He may not be wise about much, but at least he is wise enough to know where or to whom to look for answers. And he trusts that God will be faithful to answer. And I trust that too. And so I wonder how God answered the psalmist's prayer. When the psalmist said that he would wait for the Lord to teach and instruct and lead, I wonder how God made his ways known to the psalmist. Well, I imagine that God did so in the same ways that he has taught and instructed and led you and me. And so what are those ways? When you have been wise enough to seek out God's ways for your life, what or who has helped make those ways clear to you? Well, if you are joining here today, then I assume that seeking to learn and to understand God's ways through gathering with others for worship and prayer and study and service and care and conversation in the church is a big part of how you have done that. We're here because we long to learn God's ways and have God speak into our lives. We long to hear that voice say to us every day that God cares about us, that we are loved, that we are forgiven, that we can make it through even the toughest times, and that who we are and what we do matters, that we have purpose. We long to know how to love, how to make our relationships work, how to handle conflict, what to do with tragedy and suffering, what happens after we die, and we wonder whether we have been good enough in God's eyes. We long to hear the good news that our lives and our world can be redeemed, and we search for anything that tells us that that might be true. And we listen for that voice and we look for signs of good news all around us. Social media, the news, movies, TV shows, and other places. Have you noticed that corporations have started sharing messages of hope and love and compassion and forgiveness and the golden rule in their commercials? You know, as heartwarming as those messages are, they still cannot tell us all that we long to hear. They cannot answer our deepest questions or our heartfelt prayers. They cannot tell us who God is and who we are created to be. We cannot find our true identity in those messages. And we cannot find our true identity on our own. Today we have banners hanging in our sanctuary, reminiscent of All Saints Day, when we give thanks for the lives of those who have come before and those on whose shoulders we stand. The banners on that holy day remind us that we would not be here today without those people, those who have passed on the faith and helped us learn and live according to God's ways. The banners here today represent and celebrate all of our adult Sunday school classes, our smaller communities who continue to gather and pray and learn and grow and support and challenge, and above all else, to walk together and love one another through this life. These banners remind us that we are not alone, and that being a part of an authentic community where we can truly share our lives is vital for our life together. We are a family of faith, and that's a wonderful gift because we need each other. We are made to share our lives together in deep and personal ways. Perhaps one of the most powerful ways of learning God's ways is to gather with others in small group to connect what our faith tradition and what Scripture have to say about our life experiences, and to connect how our life experiences help us understand God and our faith and God's Word. I've participated in multiple small groups over the years, and I find that God speaks to me and helps me learn His ways as I hear others reflect upon the words of Scripture and their faith. A great small group will include people who see God from different vantage points and help others to see where God might be at work. Small groups is a safe place, you know, where we can ask our questions and offer different interpretations. These groups have produced such rich friendships, and I know they have helped me hear God's voice in fresh ways. And I am so grateful for that. And the members of these groups, we have been there for each other through the ups and downs of life, children being born and health concerns and the death of loved ones and job losses. People don't have to be passed away to be the shoulders on which we stand, or perhaps the shoulders on which we lean for support. And the truth is that in a church our size, a lot of the care and the spiritual formation is led by you, by our laity. You disciple and care for one another. And we sometimes have these assumptions that it's only the pastor who dispenses faith formation and care from the top down, but we all minister ourselves. To minister simply means to attend to the needs of someone, to help someone. And so we all are, or we at least can be, ministers. Sunday school classes and small groups are also sometimes the place where many people first come before entering into the full life of the church. They are often the first places people go in the church to look to Jesus in order to be more like Jesus. During this sermon series called Hope Endures, we are reminded of the importance of sharing our lives with one another and that we are made together. And after a long time of being scattered, of being at home and isolated and lonely, our hope is to be able to gather again safely and fully as God's people, to worship, to study God's word, to serve, and to care for one another. And I am so grateful for technology that has allowed us to share our faith and our lives together remotely. I have heard from some of you that if it weren't for video conferencing and online worship, you wouldn't be able to participate because you cannot physically come in person. So praise God for technology. We will never stop offering online opportunities to be part of this faith family because we know for some, it is your lifeline. In worship, the hard part is that although you can see us, we can't see you. And we want you to know that even though we don't see you, you are not forgotten. And when and if you are ready and able to come in person, there is a place for you here. But one of the benefits of Sunday school and small groups is that you can see others and they can see you, even online. You can hear each other. You can share your joys and your concerns. You can share what's going on in your life. You can minister to each other. You know, it is so tempting just to throw our hands up in the air and say that because we're living in the midst of a pandemic, that our life together can wait. But our need to connect with one another and be in God's Word together, listening for God's voice in the midst of all of the other voices right now, and learning God's ways is more important than it has ever been. This is probably the defining moment in our lives. And so we have to ask ourselves, will I make time to find ways to keep myself connected to God and to others during this unprecedented time? Will I find meaningful ways to gather and share my life with others, whether that is in person or virtually? Gathering for worship and study and giving and serving and sharing, it is essential because we are made to share our lives with others. We find ourselves in profound distress when we are not connected to others. It is when we gather together and when we make time for these things in our lives that we feel the most alive and the most human. We feel stronger and more motivated to face whatever may come because we feel more connected to the source of all that is. And when we are together, we are reminded that we don't have to face any of it on our own. And so let us pray. Holy God, we give you thanks that you never leave us alone. And yet, God, we are so mindful that you have created us to share our lives with others, to be a part of this community, of this body of Christ. God, we know that we need that. We feel it deep in our souls. And so, God, for those of us who find ourselves experiencing loneliness, God, help us to reach out with courage, to connect with others, to talk with others. And God, for those of us who are able to be out and to be in person, help us connect with those we know who are not with us, those who are missing, God, those we haven't seen or talked to in a long time. God, give us the courage to take that step forward, to be your community together. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
As we come to Holy Communion time, I hope that you have secured your elements of bread and juice at your home so that you can be a part of Holy Communion today. Remember that every time we take Holy Communion together on the first Sunday of the month, we also receive an offering for utilities assistance, one of the wonderful ministries of our church, and so we invite you to give to that offering through our app or through our website or by sending that in. and that helps us to do wonderful ministry for our neighbors. This is an open table, and everyone is welcome to participate in this service of Holy Communion. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for our sins while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. Let us join together in the prayer of the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, through whom you made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast together at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. And now, with the confidence as children of God, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This is the body of Christ, given for you, and the cup of salvation poured out for you.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Holy God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery and for how you connect your heart with our hearts through this sacrament. God, may we always remember that we are one body through your Son, Jesus Christ, and we are made to share in this life together. God, we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we go forth today, remember that Jesus said, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them." There is just something that is so important and so powerful that happens when we gather together and when we share our lives and our faith. And so go forth this week and be present with someone in safe ways, someone who may not be experiencing the power and the energy that comes when being gathered with others. Take some time to ask someone you're with that great Wesleyan question, how is it with your soul? And see where that conversation takes you. You will probably be very surprised how spirit-filled and how rewarding that time is for both of you. And so go in peace. Amen.